Court said in the United States concerning the Ten Commandments. If the posted copies of the Ten Commandments are to have any effect at all, it will be to induce the school children to read, meditate upon, perhaps to venerate and obey the commandments. This is not a permissible state objective. James Wilson, a signer of the Constitution and original justice on the United States Supreme Court and co-author of America's first legal commentaries on the Constitution, he said, human law must rest its authority ultimately upon the authority of that law which is divine. Far from being rivals or enemies, religion and law are twin sisters. Indeed, these two sciences run into each other. The divine law forms an essential part of both. In 1962, the 22-word unconstitutional prayer, Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependency upon Thee, and we beg Thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. This prayer acknowledges God the same amount of times as the Pledge of Allegiance and a quarter times as the Declaration of Independence, yet this prayer was unconstitutional? In Abington versus Shemp in 1962, the court reported that only 3% of the nation did not believe in religion or God. The unconstitutional prayer was consistent with the beliefs of 97% of the country, thus making 3% the majority for the first time in America. In this prayer, we ask God to bless four things: students, families, schools, and the nation. Before 1962 and 1963, the courts used biblical guidelines in all four areas. George Washington warned in his farewell address, "Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion, whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle." What happened to students after 1962 when the United States Supreme Court committed an oligarchy? That's where few rule over many in doing their best to eradicate the Ten Commandments. Birth rates for unwed girls 15 to 19 years old have increased every year and have gone up 553% in girls 10 to 14 years old. Sexually transmitted diseases increased dramatically to a 226% ratio in students 15 to 19 years old and have gone up 257% in, again, ages 10 to 14 years old. Premarital sex up 365% in teenagers 16 years old, 271% in teenagers 17 years old, and 209% in teenagers 18 years old, and 1,000% up in teenagers 15 years old. What happened in schools after 1962? SAT scores plummeted for 18 consecutive years. The rates are so low that the Department of Education states that this is the first time in American history that we are graduating out a generation of students who academically know less than their parents did. The SAT test has been the same since 1941, yet there is nearly an 80-point difference between the two generations. In 1962, there were only 1,000 Christian schools, but by 1984, there were 32,000 Christian schools in the United States. Currently, 8.5 million students attend religious private schools, and SAT scores are nearly 80 points higher for private school students. These private schools even receive two-fifths less funding per student and are still topping the charts because of their teaching of Christian principles in school. What happened in the nation after 1962? Well, violent crimes are up 794%. America is number one in the Western world.
Did you know that the founder state constitutions were an average of only 5 pages nationwide? Did you also know that they focused more on the character of those placed in office more than the laws themselves? For example, Delaware constitutional requirements for men in office: I do profess faith in God, the Father, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, and in the Holy Ghost, blessed forevermore. How about Pennsylvania Constitution? I do believe in one God, the creator and governor of the universe, the rewarder of the good and the punisher of the wicked. And then over to North Carolina's Constitution: no person who shall deny the being of God, or the truth of the Christian religion, or the divine authority, whether of the Old or New Testaments, or who shall hold religious principles incompatible with the freedom and safety of the state, shall be capable of holding any office or place of trust or profit in the civil department within this state.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently, we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Boat rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course, all of you good guys and girls out there. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Now, where do I start? I mean, honestly, people, I've been through this. So I'm dead to myself. Let's put it that way. You're only effective in a war when you're dead. And I'm talking about dead to self. And if you take that to scripture, Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. You're ineffective if you hold on to anything else trying to go through that door. You come as a thief or as a robber. And I am telling you what, folks, the things that we're seeing in this country are almost unreal. And they really are. Because, again, it goes back and it reverts back to what I said about the unthinkable. You have a bunch of oligarchs, the few ruling over many, the Bill Gates of the world, the Elon Musks. I don't know where, by the way, I don't know where people are getting off thinking that Elon Musk is like some friend to the American people or friend to people anywhere. So, I mean, you already know who his wife is, right? I mean, it's pretty weird. She's a witch. His mom's involved in the witchcraft. You can see that she's a globalist. She's thrown all the messianic signs. I mean, it's all there. And then when Halloween comes around, you know, they have to go ahead and celebrate that holiday, as they call it. The Satan appreciates people that take the time to at least celebrate him wholeheartedly at least once every year. Isn't it crazy how the churches just go right on board? The Bible says put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. But what they do is they put on their ghouls and their witches and their warlocks and their wizards. And they're just having fun, though. You know, well, Satan doesn't look at it like that. And the reason I'm bringing this up, friends, is going back to Elon Musk, he dresses up in his satanic outfit. Here, I just want to, because I'm hitting this right now, I just want to show this to you. And so you can see for yourself his outfit for none other than Halloween. And you'll understand perfectly as to what I'm talking about once you see this image on sonsoflibertymedia.com. By the way, if you're trying to figure out why I'm highlighting this, is because I'm trying to get you to understand that he's not your friend. This is the guy that wants to put a piece of metal in your head so they can track you globally. And I know that you guys are all thinking that him and Donald Trump are at war with each other. They're not. They're setting up the infrastructure as we speak. Just like I told you they were, friends. You're falling for it again and again and again and again. Here, go ahead and look at this. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, also BeforeIt'sNews.com. He's got a goat's head with upside-down cross on his chest, on his feet, on his arms, and the list goes on. And the list goes on. He's not your friend. And again, I want to show you a picture of his mother so you can understand who she is. And you'll see her in a lot of magazines. They've been a part of the elites, as they love to be called, for a long, long time. And I know how he goes out and about and tries to sell himself as being everybody's friends. But in fact, he's not friends. And I'm thinking of his wife right now. And I want you to see exactly who his girlfriends are. As well, I should say, these breeders of his. I mean, really, there's no better way to say it. The breeders that he has. And what am I talking about? Well, you guys have all heard of Grimes, right? Grimes is the one that, you know, does the whole online. She's a media influencer, as they say. No better guy to have on your side than a guy like Elon Musk, who owns X now, right? Who's out there doing what? Violating the First Amendment. Remember how the conservatives of the day were just elated that Elon's going to be buying Twitter, man, and he's going to call it X, and he's not going to censor anybody. Oh, no, 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 just the exact opposite, friends. But this is the list of women that he's bred to have children. And some of the names that this guy comes up with concerning his kids is beyond weird. No joke. It really is no joke. I mean, why a human being would name his kids the things that he's named his kids is just beyond me. And again, how anybody justifies this in a Elon Musk, I have no idea. I honestly don't have any idea. I want to show you something here. Speaking of Grimes, going back to, and by the way, I'm not going to sit there and take all the time to give you all the names of his kids, but they're unthinkable. They're just that bizarre. They really are. But Grimes, she calls herself a witch. She's had some kids with Elon Musk. And again, how people don't put this together, I have no idea. But I guess that's what we do here on the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. Again, going back to Ephesians 5:11. Here's this wacko right here. This is her right here. She dresses in full witch garb. No joke. And they are summoning demons, and I know somehow or another people just think it's Hollywood, but in fact, it's really not. She's really that far out there. But again, so is his mom, okay? I just want to make clear that y'all understand that these people are not your friends. They think they're above you. They believe that somehow or another you serve them. And again, I'm speaking of an Elon Musk. And that name came up because I was thinking of Bill Gates. Everybody already knows who he is, or at least they think they do. And it's the same thing for Elon Musk. And it's the same thing for all of these other Jewish Zionist billionaires that are coming out acting like that they're friends with the American people and they're freedom fighters when in fact nothing could be further from the truth. Now, the reason I'm saying all of that, friends, is because I started off almost laughing about what's going on in this world. But it's not laughable because it's just so much, it's so overwhelming, and it's purpose to overwhelm you. But I'll tell you what, being overwhelmed is going to bring you one of two ways. It's going to either bring you to the Lord, where it should be bringing you, or it's going to bring you to the system, and you're going to submit to it. Isaiah 30, what am I talking about? Well, we've all heard people say, you know what, the Lord will never give us too much, or he'll never burden us too much where we can't handle it. Nonsense. Can somebody please show me that? I'd like to see that. And don't go to Matthew 11:28 neither, because if you do, you're just going to stick both of your feet in your mouth. But if you'd like to confront me on this, I would love to answer it. 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. Hey, folks, the very purpose of the overwhelming burdens are to bring you to the Lord. That's called the justice and judgment of God. That's the hissings of the Lord to drive you to the cross. When you look at scripture, friends, you'll see the judgments of the Lord fall upon the people because if the people don't listen to the chastisements to inflict pain or suffering or to humble or to improve, where he chastises his children, when you reject that, what will happen is he begins to bring his judgments little by little by little by little. America, you're being inundated with them. Go to Leviticus 26, start in verse 15, and you'll notice what I'm talking about. It's just getting heavier and heavier. But why does he allow it to happen? He allows it to happen to bring you one of two directions, either to himself or separate yourself from him in your sin. And then judgments commence and they continue. That's where he leaves it up to you. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Andrew Young, former mayor of Atlanta, said, "You don't want to think of yourself as a martyr, but if you worship in a religion, Christianity, where the symbol of that religion is a cross, you are reminded every day of your lives that the cross is not something that you just hang on the wall. It's something that comes out as a result of confrontation with evil, and that when you face that confrontation with evil, you're likely to face the possibility with a physical death. But if you don't face that confrontation with evil, you inevitably face a spiritual death."
Hi, this is Brian Fisher. I'm the host of the Focal Point Radio program on the American Family Radio Talk Network. And Bradley, I just want to thank you for inviting me to be a guest on your program. I want to thank you for being a guest on my program. You're fighting a good fight. You're fighting for liberty and for truth. Keep it up, my friend, and God bless you.
BBSRadio.com.
Governments, like clocks, go from the motion men give them. Wherefore, governments rather depend upon men than men upon government. Let men be good, and the government cannot be bad. But if men be bad, the government will never be good. William Penn. A republic versus a democracy? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We are a constitutional republic. We are not a democracy. Thomas Jefferson's letter to the Danbury Baptist Association, January 1, 1802. The First Amendment has erected a wall of separation between church and state and barring the government from what it's attempting to do today. To prove that point, President Thomas Jefferson was president of the United States of America, as well as public schools in Washington, D.C. The two books that he made mandatory were Watts' Hymnals and the Bible. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, 281-845-4704. Oh, yeah. Folks, if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that? Because it's a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. Romans 8:14 is in play right now. I'm just going to continue on this little venture we're on right now. Remember I just told you about Anton LaVey? You guys all heard of this guy? I mean, what an absolute, what a loser. What a clown. I wonder how it's working out for him now. And I know that the Lord has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You know what? But the Lord also rejoices over the wicked. And it's interesting that this guy, where the Bible says in Psalm 7:11 that God is angry with the wicked every day, this guy knew exactly what he was doing. As a matter of fact, what he did is he went into the Bible and he reversed the scripture. And yet the Bible clearly tells us in Revelation 22, 18, and 19 not to add to or take away. So what does Anton LaVey do? He goes out, friends, and he writes the first satanic Bible. You know what the first scripture in that satanic Bible is? Do what thou wilt. Do what you want to do. And I was just talking to him about him a moment ago, but I want you to see this. He said, "I'm glad that Christian parents let their children worship the devil at least one night out of the year." If you call yourself a Christian and you have the audacity to profane the word of the Lord by calling yourself something that you clearly are not, by celebrating what the devil rejoices in. You know what, friends? I just really, some people are so far out there, but I know people don't understand that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. They're enemies of the cross. So who am I to say anything to them about this, right? No, I say this because I'm obeying scripture out of love for you. Because that love didn't come from fallen man. It came from the Holy Ghost, which is found in Romans 5:5. Now, I'm saying this about Anton LaVey right now. Again, line upon line, precept upon precept, from the first segment to where we're at right now, where I want you to understand that this guy on his deathbed, something he said that there was something seriously wrong. See, people want to, it's like Voltaire. He wanted to go ahead and, you know, as he said, make 12 stinky fishermen a thing of the past. And yet his housemaid had actually reported that on his deathbed, Voltaire asked for a preacher. And the preacher was not brought. And she said of her boss, her lord during that time would have been proper, the proper vernacular. But she said that when he was dying, speaking of Voltaire, that it was as if I was watching a man fall into the flames of hell. Well, that's exactly where he fell. See, and his last plea was for a preacher. And did you know that 50 years later, friends, speaking of Voltaire, that his home was used to reproduce Bibles? God is not mocked. Okay, but these people do that. I was just talking about Bill Gates, oligarchs. I was talking about Elon Musk, Satanist, occultist, and that's a fact. And cross-check me if you want to contend at any time. Please give me a call, 281-845-4704. The reason I'm saying that is yesterday somebody said you took so-and-so out of context. I said absolutely not. I played the video. I played it in context. I didn't cherry pick. We preach out against that nonsense. So instead of going after me online, why don't you just call in and then set me straight in front of everybody? Because we don't play that. We follow scripture here. If you got a problem with somebody, you don't go and talk about that person. No, you go to them. Go to Matthew 18, start in verse 15 to 20. That's what the Bible tells us to do, and that's what we do here. 281-845-4704. Okay, so we talked about Bill Gates' oligarchs, then we talked about Elon Musk, and then one of my friends on social media had just brought up, don't forget about Zuckerberg. Yeah, I know. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting that Mark Zuckerberg, who we all know, did you guys all see him take his jacket off and he had that Illuminati stuff on the inside of his jacket? Yeah, everybody knows who they are. But somehow or another, the masses think it's a big game. But you don't realize that these people are seriously out to get you. There's no joke. It's no joke. I mean, just go ahead and look over the last 5 years. But speaking of Mark Zuckerberg, has anybody ever asked themselves, and I'm going to tie this together, but has anybody ever asked themselves the question, why does Joe Rogan have all these people on his show, including the president, including the FBI director? I mean, anybody and everybody, because he's a part of the problem. He's another one of those controlled operatives. He's not getting $100 and $200 million every year from Rumble Friends because he's not a part of the big old boy club that you and me are not a part of. Oh, but I like the way he converses with people. That's fantastic. But do you know that he's entertaining your oppressors? Do you understand that? What Joe Rogan is doing is giving a confession of who he really is. What are you talking about? Here, let me show you this, because it's not just Bill Gates. It's not just Elon Musk. It's not just Mark Zuckerberg and the rest of these clowns. Hey, folks, 10 out of 10 people die. So when I'm saying these people are clowns, what are they doing? They are testing their little wooden blunt swords against a mighty and a holy and a just God, which, by the way, makes him good. That's what makes him good, is that he's holy and he's just, okay? And remember, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, but first remember that he's a good judge in the process. But let me show you something, because I don't think people have seen this. We're on to something here, friends, but you guys can go ahead and take a look up at the social media platform, and if not, that's okay. I can paint the picture for you, but there's a picture of Joe Rogan when he used to have hair, and he's throwing out the devil's horns, along with Stanton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey's grandson. So again, people, you need to come to the realization that this whole system is a system of a cult. Listen to me. They are doing their best, their feeble best, friends, to create a world
without the one that created the world. And yet, and I know other people like this, especially professed Christians, especially women, they love to blame the devil for everything. They love to talk about how the devil's in control of this and the control of that. He's not in control of anything over the lives of Christians outside of what the Lord gives him permission to do. Ask Job, okay? Ask Job. But folks, these people are allied. Isaiah 28, verse 18, they are at war against the people. That's why they lie. Hey, folks, they lie. You want to know why they lie? Because they know the truth. That's why they lie. And guess what they hate? The truth. But let me say it this way. John 3, 18, 19, 20, and 21. Read that. Okay? Read that. They hate the light. Okay? But what I want you to catch this is, friends, the seed of the righteous is forever. Did you hear me, Satanist? Did you hear me, occultist? Did you hear me, all of you that think that you have won over on somebody because you're a better liar than most people know how to tell the truth? No, that's on you, not on the people. Okay? The point is people are giving you the benefit of the doubt, but you lie, and your objective in life is to see how many lies you can get away with before it catches up to you. Let me tell you this. Ask Anton LaVey. Ask all of those that have gone before you that are now in hell for eternity, if it's a game. Or is it going to be like the rich man in Luke 16 where he comes back and says, you know what? I didn't realize. This is the essence of what he was saying as he was in hell. He said, just give me something to wet my parched tongue. I want you to go back. Now that I'm in hell, I want you to go back and warn my household and tell my five brothers of this place. Now, I want to say this too. Hellfire preaching is not biblical. No, it's the consequence of unrepented sin before God. Read Luke 12, verse 4 and 5. We fear God. We repent before the Lord, not before hell. But Jesus took the time to warn us over and over and over and over again. I'm just asking the bad guys. Those that monitor me, what are they going to do when they don't need you anymore? You're expendable. Do you not understand that? Do you not see what they do with people that you're assigned to take out right now? They were working just the way that you were for the very people that you're working for. Now they don't need them anymore, so they hired you to take them out. Do you see how this works? It's like a domino effect. And it's going to go back to them as well. See, because the great victory for the enemy of men's souls is to destroy mankind. Why? Because we're created in the image and likeness of the Father. He hates all of us, but he's just deceived you into believing that you're better than the rest of us when in fact you're not. We're all sinners saved by grace, if we're saved at all. But I just want to say this, bad guys. You've been given your opportunity through this platform time and time and time again, and the Lord has taken it to the direction of your ears and your eyes for the purpose of telling you that he's aware of who you are and what it is that you do, even offering you mercy. And the fact of the matter is, if you spin in the face of mercy and you end up where your predecessors ended up, don't blame him. And don't blame Bradley Dean neither, because your blood is off my hands, regardless of how you war against me. But here's the good news, my friends. Here is the good news. The church, as Charles Spurgeon rightly said, Christians, first of all, friends, the curses do not apply to the church. We've been redeemed from that through the blood of Jesus Christ. When they throw a curse on real Christians, it falls back upon themselves. But folks, as Charles Spurgeon rightly said, the church is the anvil, the world is the hammer. What gets replaced century after century after century after century? Not the church, but the hammer. Okay? We'll be right back. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
So, you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and have been thinking, there are so many others who need to hear this message as well, but you just don't know how to reach them. Well then, this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. It's time to schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean, then give us a call at 1-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And together, we can make a difference in our world today.
A test of a Christian character is what he does after he comes to the blockade in the road, and what his attitude is after everything has left him except Jesus. You will never know down here that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have left. You will never be able to tell the world for sure what he will do in a crisis unless you learn to live in crisis. Lester Roloff. President Franklin Pierce was right when he stated that the storm of frenzy and faction must inevitably dash itself in vain against the unshaken rock of the Constitution. How right he is. President James Knox Polk said, "One great object of the Constitution in conferring upon the president a qualified negative upon the legislation of Congress was to protect minorities from injustice and oppression by majorities."
Wisconsin Christian News is a nationally distributed, real printed newspaper that takes on the tough issues of our day, and we don't waste time with nonsense. We have some of the best red pill writers in the country, including Bradley Dean, and we tell you the truth you need to know. It's unlike anything you've seen before. Email us to get your free sample copy. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com. Also, watch our TV program every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Central at WCNTV.net.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you're already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
This is Karen from Harrison, Arkansas. My husband James and I are proud supporters of the Sons of Liberty radio program. We love the way Brad delivers God's word and how he brings in the Constitution to his ministry. We pray that your ministry will continue to grow and reach more people in the future. May God bless both of you.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Boy, that was a little bit of a rant, wasn't it? You know, I wish I had 3 hours today. I really do. If you want to call in, 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. We have John calling in from South America. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty, John. What say you, my friend?
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. That's funny.
That's what it says out there. It says South America. Where are you at, John?
I know. It's a joke.
Okay.
It's a joke, but yeah. But yeah, I mean, a lot of the people don't understand that, you know, after Christ ascended, there was 1,100 years before the word religion even came into, you know, I think we talked a couple weeks ago about the word cancer. You know, it was 11th and 12th century before the monastics, you know, brought that word into being through the... through Latin, you know, which is, you know, but a lot of it refers to the fact that when they say that it is a religion, they say that it's a reverence for the gods, and it's plural.
Mm-hmm.
You never see where they say God within that word religion.
Yep.
You know, religious observance, faith, a mode of worship, or cults, or sanctity, holiness, you know, in the Latin, in the late Latin, it's a monastic life. But I don't think people understand, or they, you know, have to take some time to study what the words mean in regards to what you're trying to tell them a lot of the times, because it's a hard to grasp because of how the things have been used to, you know, just like religion, take us away from the Lord.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, and then what does the enemy do? He wants to, he wants to divide and conquer, John, right? So what does he do? He starts to cast seeds into the minds of men to create a religion and their false gods. And the fact of the matter is I know they're false gods because the God that I serve is who he says he is according to Scripture. And how do I know that? Because he saved me from my sin. And in saying that, I found my faith not in the wisdom of men's words, but in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 2:5. And secondly, when you look at 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. He transformed me by the Holy Ghost, Titus 3:5, and that's how I know exactly who he is. He put in my heart to pray unto him. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. And when I asked him, he answered what it was that he put in my heart as a fleece is unto him. And that's how I found him. And that's how I know that when I was lost, now I'm found, just like that of John Newton. And the point that I wanted to make really quick here, John, was the fact that, you know, the enemy wants to sow seeds and you have all these denominations and within the Christian faith alone. I'll hit that secondly, but look at all the world religions and then go back to Christianity and ask the question, why do we have all these, all of these religions worldwide where they say that their God is God? Because when they look at the Christian church, they see that there's 45,000 different denominations. They see professed Christians divided. And when you look at Scripture in 1 Corinthians 1:10, it says we're supposed to have the same heart, the same mind, and the same judgment. And then when you look at Ephesians 4, what does it talk about? It talks about one Lord, one faith, one Spirit. And yet, so the world looks at Christians and says, why do you have all these denominations? Why all this division? And why all this warfare? Let me make one more.
Well,
go ahead.
The devil's time is limited, and he is very busy. Can I tell you something that you said about 5 years ago?
Sure.
And I wrote it down on a baker scaffold that I used to do construction with, and it says in magic marker on one of the steps, I haven't been talked into my faith, so I cannot be talked out of my faith.
Amen. Amen. And that's exactly
you,
right,
brother.
My friend. Yeah, thank you, John. I totally appreciate that. I do want to know where you're calling from one time that you call in. But I do want to say that when you look at Judges 5:8, how the enemy works, if you go back even to just going on with this conversation with John, it's interesting that when people come to America from other countries, right? You know, one of the things that I say as a backhand to those that serve false gods is, you know, if your God is God, then why is it that you're leaving your war-torn countries to come to America? And I'm not saying that to be a smart in the mouth. I'm not saying that because I'm trying to be cocky or prideful or arrogant. I'm seriously asking them the question. If your God is God, then why are you coming to America? You know where foreigners first come when they come into America, friends? They go to Washington, D.C. And you know when they go to Washington, D.C., you know what they get to see? They get to see my father's fingerprints all over everything. All the way up until the 1960s, we used to follow that mandate for the most part, okay? All these denominations are 300 to 1 concerning other, you know, mosques and Sikhs, and the list goes on. But the fact of the matter is, friends, before that time, we didn't have the issues in our country in the 60s that we have today. Why? Because all of a sudden they started to indoctrinate the young people, and the church lowered the standard, which is Jesus Christ, Acts 17:31, and then they said the older generation did anything goes. They can all come in here. Instead of assimilating to our ways, what we can do is just go ahead and assimilate to their ways. Well, what happens when you do that? When the Lord said, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and you do that, what's going to happen? When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by me, and you say just in that which is in contrary or in contrast or diametrically opposed to the Word of God, what do you suppose is going to happen? I can tell you exactly what's going to happen, Americans. Exactly what you're seeing in the streets of America today. You're being infiltrated by foreigners who mean to treasonously conquer your country. And it's not just the Muslims. It's the I don't care what they call themselves. They're all minions of hell. Okay? And the point is they come in here, and again, this falls to the front door of the church for not holding to the one who is Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy 2:5, and then going over to Acts 4:12. There's none other name under heaven whereby men might be saved. His name is Jesus Christ. Not all, everything goes, and you guys can all, everybody's going to heaven, like, you know, these heretics that we have on television today that are talking about, well, you know what, all ways lead to the Lord. Nonsense. Nonsense. What Jesus said when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that was an offense to everybody else. But what was he saying? Was it true? Absolutely. Was it also true on the other side of the point that I'm making where it tells us in Judges 5:8 that when the people chose new gods, they allowed them that there was going to be war in the gates. So when the people said it's okay for others to come into America and exalt their false gods in the face of the one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord said that when you do that, and this is exactly what happened in the 60s, you said anything goes, the older generation did. Guess what began to take place? Guess what got its foot in the door? Other religions coming into America then saying, we want our rights too. Okay, nonsense. You're afforded asylum, but it doesn't say that you can come over here and begin to establish what you believe in here in America to take away what it is and who it is, should I say respectfully, that gave us the rights that we have today, that have been bestowed upon us through his good graces. And I'm talking about the living God. So when we don't do what the Lord tells us, there's going to be war in the gates. And that's exactly what you're seeing on the streets today. Look, it's, as a matter of fact, I got a point that I was going to pull up a little bit in a little bit here until I got onto my point that I wanted to make here. If you guys have all heard of this this Zohran Mamdani, right? You've all heard of him? Well, they're finding out now in New York, Zohran Mamdani is now taking thousands in illegal foreign donations, okay? Case in point. This is why you have a Dearborn, Michigan. This is why you have a fifth district in Minnesota. This is why they're creating mosques in Texas, because the people of America are allowing them to bring their false gods in when the Lord said not to do it. And somebody can say, well, you know what, Bradley, they're afforded asylum. They can go ahead and worship the way that they want to worship. You know, the fact of the matter is, yes, but to implement their way upon our way, folks, that's a slap in the face of the God that just afforded them asylum to come here in the first place. So you tell me what's right, friends. And you tell me that the root of our issues are not spiritual. And it goes right to the topic that John just highlighted, calling into the show. When we begin to allow other people to infiltrate, to begin to influence and indoctrinate heretically the American people, as a matter of fact, some will say, well, that will never happen. No, it's already happening. The ACLU, guess what they're doing, friends? They're tying hands with none other than the Muslims and CARE, who are terror-tied organizations. Many of them are in prison for the act of terror, for those that didn't know. But what they're doing is they're trying to make way with the young people throughout the high schools and the middle schools and the elementary schools throughout the United States of America. And the American Civil Liberties Union are the very ones that are helping them do that. Remember, there was lines between church and state? No, it only works for them when they need to use it. Okay. And the only time they stand up against Christians is when they need to use it. And they already know that these sheepish, effeminate capitulators that call themselves, for a good portion of them that call themselves Christians, they know that they're just going to be a bunch of sheep that are going to be pushed over by the wolves. They know that there's going to be no opposition. But when they meet real Christians, then they don't know what to do. Because guys like me understand, just like what my friend John said, hey, listen, I wasn't talked into the position that I'm in, therefore no devil in hell is going to take me out of it. That is 100% true. But Americans, I do want to say this, going back to a point that I was just going to make. I got 15 tabs up, and then I get a phone call coming in here too as well. So my mind's thinking about all of this. But I want you to contemplate the fact that they are teaching kids in public schools in America today to basically celebrate Ramadan. They're teaching them to take on a Muslim name. They're teaching them how to commit jihad against, guess who? Me and you. This isn't something that's being done in a corner, friends. This is what's happening in your face. You know, it's interesting. I just recently had a guy say the other day, goes, you know, I made a post, and on this post I was talking about fulfilling all righteousness, speaking of Jesus Christ, which Jesus did in 2 Corinthians 5:21. And then this guy said to me, and I know he's unconverted because he's not bearing fruits of the Spirit. He says, Jesus came to save the sinners, not kill them. And I just said, oh, okay. Of course he didn't. He didn't come in to destroy men's lives. He came in to save them. But it's only my job to tell them to repent. You're not preaching that message, because if you were, you wouldn't say something stupid like that. I'm going to come back and highlight that point. I'll take the call, 281-845-4704. We'll be right back. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic, without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Nations around the world, including the U.S., are being purposely destroyed from within by their own governments. Are you tired of the lies of the politicians and communists? Wisconsin Christian News is a national newspaper that tells it like it is. We don't have time for nonsense. We publish the truth, whether it's popular or not. WisconsinChristianNews.com. Subscribe today, print or online. WisconsinChristianNews.com.
This is Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. We are welcoming Bradley Dean to the Brighteon radio platform because Bradley Dean is on the front lines, speaking truth to power, defending your liberties and your constitutional rights. Bradley's voice is critical for our world in this dangerous era when tyrants and perverts are trying to steal away our children, our culture, and our future. It's people like Bradley Dean who are standing against the tyranny and holding the ground for Christians and patriots. Catch his show at BrighteonRadio.com.
President Franklin Roosevelt said, "We cannot read the history of our rise and development as a nation without reckoning with the place the Bible has occupied in shaping the advances of our republic."
BBSRadio.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. Yesterday, I brought this up during the first segment, but I just wanted to highlight it really quick. Somebody had said, you know what, I'm a new time listener and I really like the show, but there's too many commercials. Wow. Well, first of all, you're going to listen to the show and you're going to see that I have no sponsors. Okay. You're our sponsors, and without you, we cannot do what we can do. But before you whine like a little baby, why don't you see the effectiveness of what we're called to do and what it is that we are doing and the people that are being reached because of it, okay? I mean, people, the things that people complain about in this country, you know, we need to send people over that complain about the way things that are, you know, concerning the current affairs in America. If you think you've got it so bad, why don't you go over to a third world country and see how it is there? And I'm not talking about the corruption in government. I'm just talking about the state of their countries. Okay. And within a day, you're going to be calling saying, I want to come back home. Okay. We need to understand that we need to be thankful for what we have, because out of gratitude, we're not going to complain about things that have been bestowed upon us. You know, what I'm talking about is the opportunities that have been given unto me, because I take my opportunities and I'm thankful for the opportunities that the Lord bestowed upon me. And usually the opportunities that he gives me, speaking metaphorically, you know what I see? I see that it comes with a shovel, and I see that it comes with work clothes. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Because I'm here to serve. I'm here by God to minister to the people. And if I have to take off 2 minutes every 15 minutes or a 3 minute break to give our affiliates the opportunity to serve their sponsors so they can receive money to keep us on the air, I'm pretty thankful for that. And so should you be. Okay. But if you're going to sit there and complain about it, see ya. We're good. We're okay. We're not here trying to keep you mad. If you want to be a little whiny baby like that, then go cry somewhere else, because we don't have time for it. Now, I'm not saying that to give you a backhand, but I get quite tired of seeing how grown-ups act in this country. I mean, my goodness. Now, let me go back to something I was highlighting during the end of the segment. I was talking about how a guy said, you know, Jesus came to save the sinners, not to kill them. You know, it's interesting. I wonder if guys like this, first of all, they're not bearing the fruits of the Spirit of repentance, 2 Corinthians 7:10-11, to say something like that. And I would ask the question, no, you're right. He didn't come to kill them. He came to save them. But can I ask you something? The people that he came to save, when he came unto his own, the Bible said they received him not. Aren't those the same people that crucified him? And if they're the same people that crucified him, the question that I have for you, Mr. I don't know what the Word of God says, I'm just kind of curious, what was the message that was being preached to the people that they would gnash at their teeth and crucify the Son of Man? I'm just curious. Can you answer that? Absolutely not. Again, this falls to the modern day church and the modern gospel, which is not scriptural, because it flies in the face of everything that the patriarchs and the apostles from Genesis to the end of Revelation preached. 11 of the 12 were martyred. Why were they martyred? Because they weren't preaching this little mamby-pamby, soft pillow, false grace, petting your feathers in the same direction. They were telling you to repent from your sins. And to be quite honest with you, friends, there's no nice way to say it. And let me ask you the other question. How are you going to preach repent? I said this at church on Sunday, every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, right on sonsoflibertymedia.com. How are people to repent if you don't show them God's moral law, which was the schoolmaster to bring men unto Christ, Galatians 3:24? You want an example? Go to John 8, go to Mark 10, and go to start in verse 17. It's a schoolmaster to bring you unto Christ. So how are you going to tell men to repent? And first of all, I would ask the question to that, what are they supposed to repent for if you don't show them that they've transgressed God's moral law, which defines out to be sin, 1 John 3:4? What's offensive to them? The fact that they are sinners. They've offended and transgressed God's holy law. Why do they get mad at you? Because I just told them that they need to repent for violating God's moral law. There's no nice way to say that. And I want to go back and tell you what I said to this individual that said, Jesus came to save the sinners, not kill them. I said to him, I said, stay in your lane. And then I said to him, Satan, the god of all dissension, stirs up daily new sects. And last of all, which of all others I should have foreseen or once suspected, he never thought it would happen. He has raised up a sect such as teach that men should not be terrified by the law that they offended, but gently exhorted by the preaching of the grace of Christ. That's used as an occasion for the flesh. So in other words, what you have is you have false converts, friends, taking shots at you all day. They have no idea what you're talking about. You propose simple questions to them. What do? They hang up on you. They don't respond. They unfriend you. And it's like, guy, you have to understand, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And you're giving everybody kisses. You're being deceitful, and I'm being faithful. And furthermore, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. And if we're to sharpen each other, then why is it that you won't pull up your sword to sharpen your iron with? Why is it that you will not allow it to be sharpened? Because you don't have the sword. Because you're not his. And that's really what it comes down to. I'm going to go ahead and take Margie calling in from Minnesota. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. Margie, what say you, my friend?
Hey, Bradley, you covered exactly what I wanted to talk about. And I got It was your post about the Liberty ship yesterday.
Yeah.
And you know the rhetoric we both got. And the last thing was one man called me anti-Semitic.
Of course.
Yeah, he's anti-Semitic.
Yep.
And I ended up messaging him all your videos where the Jews are speaking about the Zionists, the Rothschild video. Haven't heard, it's been cricket since.
Yep.
But this other man who's my age is relentless. And there's been other people, several people in your church that have tried to, we kind of see a kind heart in him. And we've kind of tried to help him get on a better path with the Lord. And so a couple of us said, call in and talk to Bradley. You know, try and stay on topic. And, he doesn't have time on, every post to answer your questions or to have a debate with you. Well, he did. I think he is listening right now.
Okay.
And I'm not going to call names, but his response was, I just listened to his podcast, and you are right. He's not for me. I promote the God of redemption and love, and apparently his offerings are about condemnation.
Yep.
Yes, and hell. And I won't be bothering to try and have a conversation with him or you anymore.
Yeah.
So can you address that? I mean, I think
I just did. I mean, it's the modern gospel. He's never been converted, and he wants to talk. What he's doing is he's calling it the gospel of Jesus Christ, and what he's doing is trying to defend men in their sin. And he doesn't love them enough to tell them to repent. He doesn't love them enough to tell them that hell awaits those that have not repented. And you can instantly, hey, folks, it's like genuine Christianity is not a profession of faith, but rather a possession of faith. And the only way that you get that is through the born-again experience, which is in John 3:3. And again, I can instantly tell by people's response as to where they're at. They're either just completely biblically illiterate and they're parroting what they're hearing from their hireling at the pulpit, John 10:12. And the fact of the matter is if they were bearing the fruits of the Spirit, they'd be going the opposite direction that they are. But I'll tell you what, if preaching condemnation and preaching hell and all this other stuff that he was saying is the wrong way, then he better talk to Jesus about that because he's my master and I'm following in the way of the master, Hebrews 13:7. And I can give him, 54 examples of that because that's how many times the Bible warned us of a hell. And again, we need to repent before God because we've offended him. And that's exactly what it says in Acts 20:21. He no sooner wants to hear the truth of the matter, nor does he want to come to the light any more than a criminal does to a cop. And that's exactly what these people are. And it's America's filled with them. Why do you think, who's following Donald Trump, a pedophile? Who's promoting and trying to justify a pedophile? It's the church. Yeah. They're unconverted.
Exactly.
Yeah. So with that, I'd also say this too, Margie, and I posted this earlier, building people up in the spirit that are unrepentant is like scattering seed upon the rock. That's what this guy's doing.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a problem. I don't come with brakes, Bradley, and I got to learn to start pumping them because I think I have a big heart, even that though I come off to them like I'm righteous and judgmental, but it is out of love. You know that. And but
it's,
I'm learning.
It's only love that can do that. That's all that can do that. Listen, if you were there, the greatest miracle God can perform is take an unholy man out of an unholy situation, clean him up, make him holy, and then put him back into that unholy situation. Until you understand what I just said, they need to stay in their own lane. And that's the truth of the matter. Because I'll tell you what, my trail to the cross was filled with tears. Hang on a second. I'm not going to. Hey, to all my affiliates, I just want to tell you thank you very much. We'll talk to you tomorrow. I have you from 1 to 3 Central Standard Time tomorrow. That's right.
Yeah, amen, Bradley. I mean, it is hard. And then you hear them, like on this Liberty post, get over it, Bradley. It was so many years ago, and you're still mad at the. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
you know not what you say.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and bring that up really quick just for the sake of people jumping in this conversation so they can pick up on it. Thanks for the call, Margie. Totally appreciate it. I'm going to pull that up really quick, and I'm going to show you what Margie's talking about right now concerning a post that I had up yesterday. And I heard some of the stupidest nonsense, most ungrateful nonsense I think I've ever heard in all of my life. And it was this post right here, friends. We're off radio right now. And it's, remember the USS Liberty. Now, you all know, just last week, I had Phil Turney on with us, who was on that ship when 35 of his friends were murdered on that ship by the IDF. They were deliberately attacked by Israel. Okay, this is June 8th, 1967. Okay, you have these idiots, and I'm not, I'm sorry. I don't even know what to call them. I really don't. They're from a different country or something. One guy said to me, he goes, you know, that's so long ago. It's irrelevant. And so when he said that to me, I said, well, why don't you tell that to Phil Turney, who lost 35 of his friends that were murdered on that ship, if it's irrelevant? You know, what's even crazier is Phil Turney's message was things are a lot worse today than they were back in 1967. So what is he doing? He's blowing the trumpet as a watchman, Ezekiel 33, verse 3, to the people that are saying that this is completely irrelevant. It's not irrelevant at all, because Zionism has grown in a massive way. I mean, you have none other, and you listeners know this, but you have Mylakowski going around in his region talking about how he basically dictates Donald Trump and America. In other words, he's the ruler. That's what he is saying to the world. And they're going after none other. I got a call here. Just hold on 1 second. Just hold on, my friend. I don't know who you are, but hang on 1 second. But I want to say this. Phil Turney's warning modern America that the problem they had in 1967 was the little leaven in the lump that they were supposed to get rid of. They were told not to say anything by the president and higher brass in the military because they were guilty of the crime of attacking deliberately the USS Liberty, okay? As I'm showing you right now, they deliberately did that. And they did that because they wanted to start World War III. And they wanted to blame the Egyptians for what happened to the USS Liberty. But it wasn't the Egyptians that did it. It was the IDF. Okay? It's the same thing that's happening here in America. Now we have information that the Mossad is in fact already taken over on the inside of the Pentagon, who is responsible for the two towers falling. Remember the five dancing Israelis? Did you forget about that, Americans? So see, again, you have the American people so brainwashed by those that they don't believe that when somebody tells them the truth through eyewitness experiences, They shun him, say he's completely irrelevant. What he's trying to save us from doesn't matter because it doesn't apply today. No, it applies way more today than it ever has in the past. And that's what Phil Turney's message is. And so what do you have is you have these people going over there talking about how the USS Liberty is completely irrelevant. And this is exactly the problem. And you know what that is? You know, it's really people standing up in their pride and their arrogancy. And the Lord said, take heed that you stand lest you fall. And those that are prideful, they're going to fall into the pits that they themselves have dug. And it's exactly what's happening. So again, and one other thing I wanted to say to that too, is the condemnation. I just want to go over to John 3 really quick for those that were listening. And I want you to see how, I'm here, guy. If you're out there and you're still listening to the show, why don't you man up a little bit and give us a call, 281-845-4704, and quit hiding behind your false gospel and quit acting like you know what you're talking about when you're completely out of your lane. What am I talking about? Margie said, oh, this guy's talking about hell and he's talking about, you know, condemnation. Wait a second. If I go to John 3:17, what does it say? It says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So what is the condemnation? He that believeth on him, believe is a verb, it's an action word. Believe on him is not to be condemned. So those that believe on Christ, they're not condemned. It's the unbelievers that are condemned. It says, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, if an individual that comes about and says, you know, you're condemning people. No, I'm not. They're condemning themselves because they're not believers. Because the condemnation belongs to those that don't believe, not to those that do believe. See, they're just looking for another reason to take their offense, where they want to remain in their sin. And what they want to do is they want to deflect it and throw it back on you because you're an offense to them. Hey, folks, we're called to this. This guy that Margie's talking to, this is small play. Again, what is he doing? He's parodying modern gospel. He's not converted. He doesn't bear the fruits of repentance. And you can see it in people's comments instantaneously, because like I said to Margie, there is absolutely no fruits of repentance, which are found in 2 Corinthians 7, 10, and 11. They're going the wrong direction. They're dead in their sin, and they're okay to be there. And they want everybody else to act just the way that they act, or should I say inact. Okay, let me finish that. In verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. So what they're doing is they're hating on the people that are telling them the truth, not the other way around. Neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth, what does it say, friends? Cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. And you know what the word wrought means, my friends? It means to be pounded in place by a hammer. I'm going to go ahead and take this phone call. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. What say you? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello. There you are. What's your name? Hello? What's your name?
My name's Paula.
Hey, Paula. Where are you calling from?
I'm Kersey, Colorado. I met you in Johnstown.
Oh, cool. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Well, I want your take on Jonathan Cahn.
beware. Beware.
Okay. That's what I thought. And yeah. I kind of heard a little bit about him, but yeah.
Yeah. I was a contributor over at WND for years, and that with respect, Joseph Fair is a cool guy, but they got a lot of those hippie preachers, that era, that have brought about what we're dealing with concerning their fruit. You know how I say that the culture is the church's report card? A lot of those same people, It's the same thing with Salem Communications. We call them dinosaurs. But you see a lot of those people that have been sitting behind the microphone for decades that have brought us to the current position that our country is in. If that doesn't tell you to beware, I don't know what you need to be aware of. I want to say this in following up with that. It tells us in Isaiah 8:20, it says, if they speak not according to the law and to the testimony, it's because there's no light in them. I believe he's controlled opposition. I also believe he's heretical, and he's goofy, to be honest with you. Those are my thoughts.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Yep, just my thoughts. You know what, again, the Bible says you're supposed to judge them by their fruit. And I just see what I see around that whole movement is the same era that has brought us into the position that we're in today. And I have nothing to do with them. As a matter of fact, I preach out against them for what they left out. It's called antinomianism. That means they have no regard for God's moral law.
Antinomianism? How'd you say that?
Yep, antinomianism. No regard for God's moral law. They tell others what to do, but they themselves do it not. Matthew 23, verse 3, they deceive themselves. They're the ones that are going out there telling everybody they need to be saved, but they don't have to do anything. And then before you know it, they're preaching on a heretical doctrine called the rapture, as if we're going to be raptured from the responsibility that, or the war that the Lord has brought us into. When he said to occupy, John 17, 7 says that Jesus prayed to the Lord, and he said that he prayed that he would not take out his disciples from the world, but that he would keep them from the evil one. And the list goes on. They preach all counter to what the Word of God says in many ways. And I'm not saying in every way, but I'm saying in many ways. And to me, those people are scary. That's all I can say. And I come from a younger generation that has to stand up and do what they left undone. And that's a really good way of saying it. So does that help, Paula?
Okay. Yeah, it does help. Well, my sister just sent me a book from him, and it's called The Dragon's Prophecy, and it So I got it, and I thought, I'm just going to call you and ask you.
Yeah. You might want to read it, but what you do is you want to take that straight stick, the Bible, and put it right up to everything he says and let it be out of the mouth of two or three to establish what it is that he may be saying. I'm just saying, from my impression of that guy, just a big beware. That's my thoughts.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's what I thought, but I just wanted your take. Okay. Well, have a great day.
Yeah, cool. Oh, she got her witness, right? She got her confirmation. Folks, today, I honestly didn't hit on one thing I had pulled up on tabs. And again, I love when we have church like that. And we went down that road today. And you know, when I do church like that, when I do radio like that, what'll happen is people will come back around and say, dude, that was awesome. You know, for me, I'm thinking, okay, what are we doing, Lord? Where are we going? I'm totally lost. But then all of a sudden something drops again. We start talking about that. And then another thought drops and another thought drops. And he's taking me down that road. And it's like, okay, what are we doing? Somebody needs to hear that. Well, what I'm doing right there is I'm a dead man walking and I'm hiding behind the cross. Where are we going? Right. I'm saying to the Lord. And it's like at the end of it, people call or they'll leave me emails like, that was the best message ever. And to me, it was like, really? And how many times I could tell you that has happened? I remember our guitar player one time, speaking of which, I think we were on like 200 high schools. We were in like in the middle of them. And I remember it was the same message. And I would leave there and I could sense the power, Jeremiah 23:29. And we would get done doing what we were doing, Isaiah 10:27. And it would feel like that was a really good assembly, right? And you never heard anything from the guitar player. And then about high school 200, right? Number 200. All of a sudden he comes over and says, that was the best high school assembly ever. And it's like, guys, you have to understand something. It's the same for me most of the time. But for you, it's just you were prepared today to receive that anointing. Whereas maybe yesterday or the other 200 assemblies, you weren't. So that's really what it comes down to. And that's one of the things that I learned long ago. I also want to say this, and we're going to end here because I'm not going to start picking up all these tabs, but I do want to say that I'll pick them up tomorrow. I don't mean to demean other men that are growing in grace because I'm growing in grace. I don't mean to put others down and put myself above them. That's not what I'm doing. I can tell you with what operates in this ministry, and it's always been here, is I'm a back watcher. I've always been a back watcher. Even with people around me, I'm a back watcher. And even, you know, when the prophetic is in operation, it usually comes as some sort of admonition, a warning, a caution in the way that you're going. And so when she just called, Paula just called from KHNC 1360, you know, I don't like just generally slapping people down, but she asked about somebody that I was pretty aware of in the sense of I've seen him around and I've seen some of his stuff, and it's goofy to me. And I see the people that follow him, not that they can't be Christians, but I just think a lot of the stuff that we see with that guy, it just, again, it comes in from that filthy era, and I see where it goes. It doesn't go to the streets. It doesn't go to the lost. It doesn't go to the highways and the byways. It doesn't go out to seek and save that which is lost. And I know that there's an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, an evangelist, and a pastor, Ephesians 4:11. But remember, Scripture says that we're all, regardless of our call, are to do the work of an evangelist. So apostles are doing the work of an evangelist. That's what Paul was doing. Read the book of Acts. And it was very apostolic in the process, right? And you see the prophets, they're supposed to do the work of an evangelist. The same thing with a teacher and a pastor. And an evangelist, they're all supposed to do the work of an evangelist. Did Jesus say this? He said in Matthew 4:19, he said, follow me and I'll cause you to become fishers of men. Was he just talking to apostles? Was he just talking to prophets? Was he just talking to teachers, pastors, evangelists? No, he was talking to the fivefold ministry. He was talking to all of them. And the name that she brought up, I don't see any of that. I don't see any of that. Matter of fact, it's really safe to say across the boards, the popular ministries that you know of, they do none of what the Lord commanded them to do in causing them to be fishers of men. What they do is they get a message, they get up to the pulpit, and then they start to preach whatever's comfortable for them to preach, regardless if it's in the Word of God or not. And that's where they found their place, okay? But how come they're not doing the obvious? And America's filled with this. There's nobody going outside of the building. Let me say it this way. Not nobody, but how many churches in America are actually out there changing their own culture by the power of the Holy Ghost? That's going to answer my question. Where they at? Do you think that if they were all doing what the Lord commanded them to do, we would be in the predicament that we're in today? Nope, not at all. And guess who's responsible for that? The hippie generation, more than any other generation. And it's prevalent today. Okay, and yet Jesus said to pray not yet that there's 4 months before the harvest. He said pray not for that, but pray that the Lord would send forth laborers into the harvest field. The Lord said, who has believed the report of the Lord? That applies to all of us. And I'm going to end with this. It was Charles Spurgeon that said, if you have no care for others to be saved, you can rest assured you yourself are not saved. That is exactly right. It's exactly right. Because if you know what you've been saved from, you have to answer the question, what you've been saved for. And I just got done telling you what the Lord said. When you follow him, this is what you're saved for, to go out and to become fishers of men. So folks, we're going to pick up tomorrow from 1 to 3 Central Standard Time. We're going to be on live radio tomorrow as well across the country. And then on Sundays, we have church from 9 a.m. And that's growing exponentially. And that's probably what I would do all day long if you left it up to me. But I guess I'm called to do more than just that. And I'm pleased and honored to be a part of that. Okay, I wanted to show you a thing that the girls just put up, and I just noticed it. If you go over to the store page, sonsoflibertymedia.com, there is a brand new shirt up there. Steph just must have put that up yesterday. But it's the Good Conscience t-shirt. They're great conversational starters. It says, all tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience. Conscience means with knowledge to do nothing. Folks, it's time we get busy because, friends, we can do this. Right? We can do this with the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's what history teaches us. See ya.